Jacksonville, Florida. It's time for another Hour of Power with Apostle Kimberly Daniels. Get ready for a 60-minute experience that will change your life forever.
Open your Bibles to Ezekiel 21:21. Ezekiel 21:21. And I am reading, so excitedly, from the Amplified Version. It says, "For the king of Babylon stands at the parting of the way, at the fork of the two ways, to use divination. He shakes the arrows to and fro. He consults the teraphim, the household gods, and he looks at the liver." Let me read the King James Version and say, "For the king of Babylon stood at the parting of the way, at the head of the two ways, to use divination. He made his arrows bright. He consulted with images, and he looked in the liver." I want to talk this morning about having power over the demons of the crossroads. Power over the demons of the crossroads. For those of you who don't understand warfare, or may have just heard us pray, we bind the demons of the crossroads and the road guards, the spirit that guide the roads and guard the roads, and the demons that get in the way. Come on, somebody. Demons that stand in the parting of the way, or where the road crosses. How many of you know that God is delivering us from the spirits that have been standing in the way where the road crosses? No longer shall the enemy be in your gate. You know why? Because there shall be a confidence in the people of God, because the Rabshakeh came to the people who were following Hezekiah, and they said, "Where do you get your confidence from? With all that you're going through, how can you be so confident that your God is going to do what he said he's going to do?" And that's why this morning we bind the voice of the Rabshakeh. And for those of you who have been around and have forgotten about the strong men and the strongholds that will speak to your mind to get you out of place, don't forget about the voice of the Rabshakeh. In Ezekiel 21:21, it talks about how the king of Babylon stands in the fork of the road, and he stands in the parting of the way. Come on, say it out of your mouth. Say, "The fork of the road, the parting of the way, the crossroads." Say it one more time, because you ain't saying that with enough confidence for me. Say, "The fork of the road, the parting of the way, the crossroads." It says that the king of Babylon was standing in the fork of the road. We read the Bible now, to do divination. So that just kills just about everybody who don't believe in witchcraft. Because if you don't believe in witchcraft, you don't believe in the Bible. It say that the king of Babylon stood in the fork of the road to do divination. So I can be safe to say that when we're doing warfare and when we're praying, we need to deal with the witchcraft and the divination that's coming from the crossroads. Where the rubber, help me somebody, meets the road, or where the road forks, are where one thing crosses another. Or the parting of the way. Help me, somebody. What happens when you get at a crossroad? You have to make a decision which way you're going to go. See, because the crossroad is the place of decision. And the enemy of our souls wants us to spend our lives making the wrong choices. Y'all going to go with me up in here in a minute or two. When it comes to making a decision that means anything in your life, there are forces that will fight you from making the right one. And I don't know about you, but I stand flat-footed at the fork of life. Help me, somebody. I stand boldly where the road parts, and at the parting of the way, at the crossroads, to decree and declare the lordship of Jesus Christ. And that no weapons formed against me will prosper. And that my mind is covered with the blood of Jesus. So there's no caging incantation. There's no mind-binding spirit. There's no ideation. There's no mental locution. Come on, somebody. That's going to stop me from going the way that God wants me to go. There is a way that seems right to a man, but the end of it is death, and I will live and not die. It says that in the Bible now, I'm not reading the newspaper. I'm not reading a book on horoscopes. It says that the Bible says that the king of Babylon stood in the fork to do divination. And check this out now. He did three things. He made his arrows bright. He consulted images. And he looked into the liver. Look at somebody and say, looked into the liver? What does that have to do with God? I'm glad you asked that question. When it says he made his arrows bright, the Message Bible say he was pulling straws. The Amplified Version says he was shaking arrows to and fro. In other words, the enemy got at the cross world, come on somebody, seeking whom he may devour, doing what he always does, going to and fro, seeing who he can set up. Y'all gonna go with me in a minute. It says that he consulted images. The Message Bible says he was throwing God dice. G-O-D dice. Gambling with God. That's what diviners and people of divination, throwing God dice. That's what the Message Bible says. The Amplified says he was consulting the teraphims. T-E-R-A-P-H-I-M-S. The household gods. Oh, you know when you start talking about household gods, you got to deal with generational curses. Because he was consulting and reading images that had come down through the generations. Y'all know the household gods, right? The ones that Laban was so upset when the man of God left. Laban came after him and was saying, why did you take my household gods? Laban's daughter, come on somebody, took the household god, sat on the basket and hid it, and said that her menstrual cycle was on. So that her, y'all know the story? Isn't it something how when he was looking for the witchcraft, the household god, he was looking for it. Somebody else he thought it related to, but it was his daughter. Come on, somebody. Because generational curses and household witchcraft stay in the bloodline. It couldn't be a non-relative to take that teraphim, to take that item, to take that God. It had to be someone who was connected by the bloodline. So check this out. The king of Babylon, he was drawing straws, consulting images, generational curses. In other words, when he got in the crossroads, he wasn't just after you. He wanted your whole generation. When cancer comes, cancer does not come just to kill you. Cancer comes to kill your children's children's children. When drug addiction get in the bloodline, it's just not trying to take you out. When family members go to prison, they're not just trying to incarcerate them. They want to incarcerate their genealogy. And the last thing I want to talk about that he did, it says he looked into the liver. What does that have to do? I saw it in the Amplified and the King James. And every interpretation of the Bible I saw, it says he looked into the liver. And I said, now, God, you know the Demon Dictionary talk about the things that they do with the liver of animals. So here's our scripture reference that we ain't just all the way out there with these mancies. And, you know, I may be crazy, but I'm crazy smart. Come on, somebody. I'm crazy smart because you don't know that the reason why your children are in mental institutions, no matter how much money you got, no matter how much power you got, you can't get them free. Come on, somebody. Because somebody is controlling them through the liver of an animal. Let me say this to you. See, superstition is divination. Oh, I'm just superstition. No, you're just operating in divination, because let me give you the definition of superstition. See, superstition is not just, come on, somebody. Superstition, Google it. Just Google superstition. It's excessive belief and reverence for supernatural things outside of the power of Jesus Christ. Okay, did I open up a realm for you then? I know I just opened that thing up. Did I open it up, Lord? I know I did. Superstition is excessive belief and reverence, giving homage to things of the supernatural outside of the power of the true and the living God. So, you know what? This book on familiar spirits is going to be good. It's going to be good. It's going to be finger licking good. It's going to be God is good, good. And I just made up my mind that I'm going all the way. For the logicians and the statisticians and the folk that are high up. But you're so high up that you can't understand that God take the foolish thing to confound you. He takes the foolish things of God to confound those who are high in intellect and notoriety. But I'm going to bust that bubble on this tape right now. I'm going to bust that bubble on this tape right now. And please, let me know right now, put it on the radio. Next time we got a spot, put it on there. Amen. Let whoever has an ear hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church, saying to the world, saying to the streets, saying to the city. Wherever you got an ear, hear this. Yeah, there's some folk, well, she seems to be smart, but she's too deep. No, I'm not that deep. You're just too shallow. And the reason why I seem so deep is because you're so shallow. Help me, somebody. Because you wouldn't know a demon if it sat on top of your head every night. And it probably does. So I say, God, this is just a Sunday morning. I don't have a lot of time. You know, I don't have hours to break stuff. So, Lord, show me a study on liver divination. On liver divination. And when I looked up, I Googled it in case, just Google liver divination. It exists. And I Googled it, and I found out that that in early antiquity or ancient divination times, they have something called hepatoscopy. Hepatoscopy. And they believe those who were actually augurers, an augurer, or a diviner, or a soothsayer, they were augurers, they believed that the liver was an essential organ. They believed that in the seat of the liver was the thoughts and the feelings of a man. They thought that the liver carried information. Now, whether it's true or not is not what we're here about. The point is that people believe it. Y'all gonna go with me up in here. See, it's not about if it's real or not real, because at the Tower of Babel, they believed that they could build a tower to heaven, and God said, if we don't come down and stop them because of what I put on the inside of mankind, they'll do it. I blew my breath in them. Come on, somebody. I blew my Holy Ghost in them, and they have a power working on the inside of them that's creative. And whenever they come and agree and believe on anything, it took the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost to stop them from building a tower to Babel. And I'm telling you today, it's going to take the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost to break the babbles out of your life today. And I come to announce and put the King of Babylon on notice that spoken word ministries ain't going nowhere. Kim Daniels ain't going nowhere but to another level. And on every level, there's a new devil. Help me, somebody. For those who are ready to be beamed up, hallelujah, thank you, Lord Jesus. You better put on the whole armor of God, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth. Let your feet be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In one hand, you carry the sword of the Spirit, and in the other, the shield of faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, knowing that no weapons formed against you will prosper. Hepatoscopy. I know that that's a medical term when they look into the liver. But before they ever start doing it for healing, they were doing it for divination. Hepatoscopy is the reading. I looked this up online now. It's a definition. The reading of omens, specifically from the liver, also known by the Greek term hepatoscopy, also hepatomancy. Y'all heard that before? Which means to divine through the liver of dead animals. The Roman concept is directly derived from the Etruscan religion. So how many of you know this comes out? Witchcraft always come out of a religion. You don't know nobody that's operating on the dark side that don't use scriptures. Because God's power is the source of power. And to have any power, they got to start there. Y'all going to go with me in a minute? Putting it simple, it's the use of animal livers for divination. Why am I talking about that? This? Just to let you know that we're not crazy. Just to let you know, come on somebody, that there is a place, there is a realm in the spirit that you got to know what you're dealing with. The drugs that they got out there on the streets now are not natural drugs. They take people into the supernatural. They got Wonder Woman drugs and Superman pills. Come on, somebody. Everything is about the pill now. Everybody pill popping. They're having pill parties. And those drugs make them delusional. What does delusional through drugs mean? Pharmakia, medicated by magic. Even the use of drugs, come on somebody, is rooted in witchcraft. It takes you into another realm. And that's why the intensity of the kind of drugs that they're using is going to another level. It's nothing that hasn't happened before, because they used to use acid and they used to use all these kind of drugs back then that would take people out of their minds. And then we got into the socially acceptable drugs, and then we got into the drugs whereby literally people were professionally capable of operating. But guess what, folk? They got some drugs out there now. You will not be able to operate normal. When you take them, you're going to manifest what you're really putting in your body. Is anybody hearing me up in here? That's why they got drugs like Flocka that turn people into zombies. People been zombies a long time. We just couldn't see it. Not a manifestation of creation. Come on, somebody. All creation is waiting on the manifestation of the true sons and the true daughters of God. How are we going to manifest? Because the devils are going to come out of hiding. It's not that something different is going to happen with us. It's just that demonic activity that has been hidden will be exposed. We're going to go to a demonic exposure. Well, folk are going to begin to see what the problem really has been all the time. So practitioners of early antiquity and ancient divination, those of the school of augury, the school of divination, were signs and omens predicted things that went on in high places, spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, let me tell you about augury and this kind of divination back then. Regular people didn't get readings like this. This wasn't just a palm reading or flipping of the cards. This kind of augury, kings of nations traditionally asked people to come in when times got hard. They would call in the augurs or the diviners or the soothsayers. Look at the Bible. There was a battle in the spirit going on between the rod of Moses and the rod of the diviners. And what people don't recognize, come on somebody, is that the diviner's rod turned into a snake too. Moses threw down his rod, it was one snake. They threw down their rod, it was two snakes. Why? Demonic magnification. But the end result was that Moses' snake swallowed up. I say, well, why would God use a snake? Because everything that the devil has meant for evil, God is turning it around. And no matter what's going on in America, no matter what's going on around the world, I'm telling you, the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, he is in charge. So kings regularly consulted augurs before making major decisions, and they often did it by examining animal livers, and they drew conclusions, and they predicted things to happen, important things. Can have a psychic, the house of God can have a prophet, because there is information in the spirit that can be supernaturally revealed. According to your faith, help me somebody, let it be unto you. Let a line be drawn in the spirit. I'll meet you at the crossroads. Help me somebody. And when we meet there, we got to know who's in charge. The bottom line is Jesus is Lord. Do you know some of the crazy stuff people believe now? some of the crazy stuff people do, and they want to make Christians crazy. No, you crazy. You crazy. Help me, somebody. The Bible says a fool said that there's no God. There are some lifestyles and there are some things that people promote and that they're into. And you call me crazy? Help me, somebody. You know, it ain't about being crazy. It's about your faith. And according to your faith, being unto you. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord up in here. And the Bible says we are peculiar anyway. You ain't supposed to understand me. You ain't supposed to agree with me. And God knows you ain't got to like me. Because for the Lord I live and for the Lord I die. They're bowing down to every gong and to every bell and to every demonic sound. But I hear a sound in the spirit where men are going to lift their hands and women are going to bow on their knees and they're going to praise the Most High God. I'm going to be crazy and I'm going to take my crazy self to heaven when it's all said and done. Because I'm crazy enough to believe that there is a heaven and there is a hell. And if I'm wrong, have your way. But if I'm right, you got a price to pay. What does this mean for the believers? The king of Babylon was on an attack against Jerusalem as a result of the omen. In Ezekiel 21, it says that the outcome of the omen, he had to find out which way to go, and it was attack Jerusalem. Something predicted from the dark side. He stood in the crossroads and divined. And the Bible says he launched a battering ram against the gates of the city. You know, we've been talking about the gates. It's time to man the gates. It's time to raise up as gatekeepers, especially that east gate where the King of Glory is coming in. He's coming in through the east gate. The king of Babylon had a battering ram against the gates of the city. And also, as you read on in that scripture, it was a warning. And here we go right now. It was a warning to the leaders that were in allegiance with the king of Babylon. And they said when the king of Babylon came in to attack God's people, there were some that were already in covenant with him in the church. There were some that had a covenant with him in the church. And God says he's coming to overturn some things. He's coming to uproot and remove some stuff out of the church. Are y'all hearing me up in here? And he said that because they were in allegiance and in covenant with the king of Babylon, what was happening seemed like lying divination to them. In other words, what they saw, they didn't believe in. Ain't no such thing as divination. People in the church. Ain't no such thing as witches. Can't no demon possess. No. But you know why? Because they're part of it. Until you line up, come on somebody, with the truth, you are part of the lie. The Bible says it was as a lying divination to them. Unto them, a false divination in their sight. Because they were blinded, because they were in league or in covenant with the king of Babylon. This is not talking about God coming overturning people that don't have it all together. Are people that are not perfect. It's not about that. It's not about, because if that's the case, all of us will be overturned. It's about people who know the path of God. Thank you, Jesus. When you start talking about crossroads, before you even get there, you got to understand the way. You got to understand the path, because broad and wide is the road to destruction. But the way, come on somebody, the tight and the narrow, the right way is, look at your neighbor and say it's tight, but it's right. Yeah, the right way is tight. When you going, come on, it's compassed with a lot of pressure. When you're in the right direction, you're going to feel some pressure. If you're just skipping through the tulips, tiptoeing, through, and everything is hunky-dory, and I'm just, baby, you on the way to hell. When you ain't feeling no pressure, when you ain't got no conviction. Now, don't get it twisted. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. But you better have some conviction of the Holy Ghost, because if you keep losing your conviction, you're going to wind up reprobate. Because a reprobate mind is a person that don't have any more conviction. Put your hand on your bed and say, God, I'm glad I got me some conviction. Even if you cuss somebody out, even if you did something wrong, even if you thought the wrong thing, you ought to feel bad about it. And I want to talk about people that do evil and it don't even bother them. Get away from them kind of folk. When they rejoice when people fall, get away from them. They're on the wrong road. Psalms 27 and 11, I'm going to go through it real quick, talks about the plain path. It says, teach me the way and lead me in the plain path because of my enemies. That word plain, it means balance or a level place of uprightness. And in other words, no matter how sage you are, if you don't have some balance, you're going to be taken out by religion. You can't be so religious that you can't be saved. You can't be so real. We're in the world, but not of the world. People have fallen prey to their own religion. You so religious, don't nobody want to be around you. You so religious, ain't nobody changing. As a matter of fact, the Bible talks about those who seek high and low for one convert. Come on, somebody. And it says that when they convert somebody to the Lord, they become doubly as hellish as they were before. That's in the Word of God. In other words, there's some people that are losing more souls than they're winning. There's another path that we need to talk about. And the Bible says we got to understand righteousness and justice in every circumstance and integrity and in every good path. That's Proverbs 2 and 9. Say the good path. The good path is not a perfect person, but the good path is when you got integrity. You're not perfect, but you're integrous. In other words, you got a standard. You know, it ain't any way the wind blows is cool with me. There are some things you got to stand for or you'll fall for anything. You heard it a lot. Proverbs 2 and 8, it says, God guards the way of the just and protects and preserves the path of faithful believers. Not perfect, faithful. I done messed up, but guess what? I'm still here. I'm full of faith. Everything I've been through, I'm still here. I'm not perfect. I have not said the right things out of my mouth. I have not thought the right things, not done the right thing. I may not even be in the right place right now or the place that I need to be in, but I'm still here. I'm faithful. I don't even understand it, but I'm faithful. I don't even understand my own faithfulness. I don't know why I'm still here. There's so many other roads that are easier that I can take than to stand in this road of the battering ram. Come on, somebody. The road of the a battering ram, it comes and it's not going to stop until it knocks it down. a battering ram hits continually and continually. And that battering ram comes for one reason and one reason only. It comes to knock you down. But the Bible says that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and a good man, a righteous man, will fall down seven times. But he'll get up every time. So you just keep right on battering, and I'm going to keep right on getting up. Because I got a ministry of getting up. Hallelujah. And when that battering ram in the spirit hits, I could just see the dust. Come on, somebody. I could just see the dirt that's flowing everywhere and the dust, and you can't see your way. And when everything is settled and everybody is gone, I'm dusty, but I'm still here. You know I've been through something, but I'm still here. I don't care if you're dusty. There's going to come a time when folk going to look at you and they're going to say, she ain't got no smoke on her. They're going to look at you and they're going to say, he has no teeth marks. How could he be in there with? I saw them close the stone on the lion's den. I saw them shut the door of the fiery furnace. And they got the nerve to come out better than before. You're not just coming out, but if you keep the right attitude, help me somebody. If you learn how to take it, God is looking for somebody that can take it. Not fake it till you make it, but take it. That's the word the enemy wants us to say. I can't take it no more. No, you put your hand on your bed and say, I can take it. I'm called to take it. Turn your Bibles to Proverbs, the second chapter. Proverbs 2. And we're going to be out of here in a minute. I'm on my way to Tallahassee. Proverbs 2, 11 and 15. 11 through 15. And it says, discretion shall watch over you, understanding shall keep you, to deliver you from the way of evil and the evil men, from men who speak perverse things and are liars, men who forsake the paths of uprightness to walk in the way of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the perverseness of evil, who are crooked in their ways, wayward and devilish in their paths. Okay, go to verse 20. We're going to read verse 20 through 22. Same chapter, Proverbs 2. So many you walk in the way of good men. So may you walk in the way of good men. Say, walk in the way of good men. So may you walk in the way of good men and keep to the path of the consistently righteousness, the upright in right standing with God. For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the men of integrity, blameless and complete in God's sight, shall remain in it. But the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the treacherous shall be rooted out of it. You may not be perfect, but don't be treacherous. Treachery is an abomination. Treachery is the biggest hypocritical spirit you can ever deal with. Because treachery means to be, are y'all hearing me? To betray, to deceive, and to be disloyal. Treachery. That means to backbite, to maliciously try to take someone out behind the scenes. Has anybody been maliciously? Raise your hand if you've been maliciously taken out behind the scenes. Come on. Has anyone released? I'm talking about especially for no reason. Treachery is malicious. And it backbites. In other words, treachery pretends to be your friend when they're really your enemy. So the best thing to do, and people can't take it when you are straight up with them. They cannot take real. They cannot take, listen, you and I know we have a problem. Come on, somebody. We're not going to be around here faking it. You know, I'm going to do everything I can to walk in God and to walk in love. But we're not going to ignore the fact that there's something there between me and you that only God can deal with. I'm not perfect. You don't like me? Guess what? I don't like you either. You're not my favorite person. And you ought to be able to say it as a preacher. You ought to be able to say, I'm talking about not hate you. If you were stranded on the side of the road, I would give you a ride. But if I had a choice whether to hang out with you or not, I would choose not to. Do we have rights as people and as believers? Thank you. I'd rather do that than to sit up and be a phony, treacherous, backbiting, backstabbing. Can I keep going? Last scripture, Psalm 65:11. This is my last scripture. It says, the Lord, and I want y'all to take this into 2018. It says, the Lord crowneth thy year with goodness and thy path with fatness. I want you to put it down and I want you to prophesy it, decree it, and declare it. Lord, you're crowning my year with goodness and you're crowning my path with fatness. When you got goodness and fatness, oh my God. Fat. You know, even the kids on the street, man, that's a fat ride. Know what that means? That's a bad car. Ooh, that's fat. That's prosperous. It's to be desired. That word crown, God, you crowning my year. How many of you going to confess that God crowned your year? That word crown, it literally is altar, and it means to encircle and compass for protection. It means to encircle, to circle or to cover with protection. God, you covering my year with protection. No weapons formed against me gonna prosper. Every fiery dart and flaming missile is quenched by the mighty shield of faith that I speak through this passage of scripture that says in 65:11, the 65th division, the 11th chapter of Psalms, that the Lord crowneth my year with goodness and he crowneth my path. I'm on euodios. Come on, somebody. Beloved, above all things, I wish that you prosper, even as your soul prosper. That word prosper is euodios, and it means to have a prosperous journey. I'm on the path of prosperity. Come on, somebody. I'm on the road to the blessing. Don't you know that if you are on the road to the blessing, you will achieve what God says you will do, and you will reach that place called there? I believe it for me. I can't believe it for you. You got to believe it for yourself. I started out by saying, God loved me that much. Put your hand on your heart and say, God loves me that much. Make it personal. Make it personal. He'll search to and fro and knock a million people out of the way just to get to you. Because you are the apple. Didn't say apples. He made it personal. You are the apple of his eye. In other words, God, when your heart hurts, his heart hurts. When you rejoice, he rejoices. And you ain't got to go read no liver to see what the end gonna be. Keeping it real. My year, another revolution of time has taken place. A year is a revolution. It means that a whole cycle has taken place. Another year. You just achieve. Listen, you've been encircled. See, God will encircle your year because that's a revolution that year is. It's a revolution. It's a revolution is an it's a circling to revolve. And it says he'll encircle it with bounty, with welfare, with benefit, with good things. He'll make your megal, your path. That path means you got it, not just a path. If you're on the right road, you got an entrenched track. You know what that means? It's entrenched. In other words, you're not just walking on a road. You know, it's up by your waist. Come on, somebody. It's entrenched. So sometimes you can't see the way to step. That's why you walk by faith, not by sight. You just can't see. It's an entrenched path. Sometimes you may be walking and it's up to your waist, but you got to walk by faith because you walk by faith. You know why? Because you know you're on the right road. I know there's no potholes that are going to suck me in on the road to the promise. Come on, somebody. I know I will not fall. I may slip. I may trip. I may fall, but I'm going to get up every time. There's nothing that's going to suck. There's no suck holes on the path that God has given me.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's show. To contact Apostle Kimberly Daniels at Spoken Word Ministries, you can call her at 904-237-9363. Services are Sundays at 12 noon or Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. Or you can be her friend on Facebook by logging in at State Representative Kimberly Daniels. Don't forget to like and follow. And join us again next Sunday evening at 6 here on Praise 107.9.